Thank you for blessing us with you tuning into Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're back in James 3, 13 through 18, and we have Grant and Jessica and Miss Tara, myself, Sandy. And we've been discussing godly wisdom versus man's wisdom. And so we're going to focus on good conduct.
It's because wisdom applied, that is knowledge applied, it will always affect our behavior. Knowledge that does not affect your behavior is not wisdom. And it will have an aspect on every part of your life. Now, that does not mean that a person's not going to sin, because all sin and fall short of the glory of God. The issue is, it's a character and consistency over time. That's what I am constantly repeating, because all will fail. All will fall short of the glory of God. The thing that we constantly watch for, and Grant and Jessica did an awesome job in explaining, is you look for that aspect, and you don't hone in on the sin, because if you focus on the sin, you're doing something God has never done. Mm-hmm. God does not sit and stare at somebody's sin and constantly point the finger. What he looks for is how that person's growing towards Christ likeness. So I want that to be up front, because it's very easy for us. Jess had shared that it was hard for her when she was young, and she discovered that her heroes in the faith were sinners. I remember that happening to me as well when I first, my first church, when I worked on church staff for the first time, and I saw, oh my goodness, it just grieved my heart. I can't explain it. Like, I literally, I think for 3 or 4 weeks, I was just sick. I can't, like, I felt undone and destroyed, and none of it was what you would put in the category of what we would deem big sins. It was just people being people. And it so crushed me. And then one of our worship leaders, Jana, she just looked at me and she goes, Tara, what in the world makes you think that they're perfect people?
Yeah.
And it never had occurred to me, I guess, in my mind, that they were all holy. And I had to learn that it's not that we won't sin, because we will. It's what we do with our sin.
Right.
Are we repenting? Are we working towards restoration? Are we working towards reconciliation? Are we asking for the fruit to be born? Are we doing the process of forgiveness? Are we doing the apology when we have messed up? Are we trying to fix the circumstances as best we can? Those are the things that we should be looking for, because that's the fruit of wisdom,
right,
being made known.
Yeah, and, you know, God sees sin as sin. He doesn't see it as a big sin or a little sin.
Right.
It's all
exactly.
Sin.
But
yeah.
We do in our minds.
We do categorize them.
And so I want Sandy to read it to us again, and then we're going to examine what it means to have good conduct.
Okay, James 3, 13 through 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from the heavens, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness.
It's so beautiful. I love that. We're looking at, and it says in verse 13, talks about the good conduct that's going to happen. And, you know, in the last, I think, month, something I've been praying a lot that's on my heart right now is we have a good God. God is good. And in Genesis, we're reminded that God is creator, and what he created is good, and he even called it good. And not only is God good and what he has created is good, but he calls out that goodness in us because he is good. That's, he wants us to bear that fruit. But then God, like, put something on my heart. I think I read it from Lisa Turker's book, Uninvited. And she had this line that she said, God is good at what he does. And that stopped me. Because I have always thought about that God is good. and his creation is good, and he has put that goodness in us, and he calls us to goodness. But that one phrase, but he's good at what he does, takes the trust to a whole new level. Mm-hmm. And look at this where it says it right here. And I wrote it down when Sandy was reading it because my translation says honorable, but Sandy said good. So if you're wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living a good life. Mm-hmm. That's trusting the goodness of God, that God is good at what he does. Wisdom at its finest level is applying the goodness of God and trusting that God is good at what he does. And I mean, I'm like, sorry, I'm about to start crying because it's just kind of ministering to me in the moment, and then taking it to that level and recognizing it and trusting God in that. And so thinking through good conduct. How would you define good conduct? Like, what's your definition when you think of good conduct? When schools say good conduct, when they say we want citizens to have good conduct.
My first thought is just, like, moral uprightness, like, doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as you're talking about God being good at what he does, I'm even just thinking of being talented and accomplishing things and doing things with excellence and things like that.
Yeah. I was thinking of good conduct. I'm just thinking of the fruits of the Spirit, you know. And then in here it says to be considerate, loving, full of mercy. To me, that's a good conduct when you have all those qualities that you're trying to reach out to others.
Okay. How about you, Grant?
I mean, yeah, obviously, like, the first thing that I think comes to everyone's mind is, you know, just, like, someone following the rules kind of thing. But really just for what rules, you know? Just like having your character reflect God's.
That's so good. When a person has good conduct, it's going to be the moral that Jess says. It's going to have the skills, because she was talking about gifting. It's going to have the practical, which is what Sandy and Grant were talking about. But it's also going to have the perception to know when you should act in it. Like, it's actually having that ability, that discernment, that ability to move forward in it. And so part of that comes out, we had brought up that it says that we should have, in this list, we talked about humility, okay? Why is humility a part of true wisdom? Why is it a part of good conduct? Why would we be able to see humility?
Because it's not, life isn't about us. When we accurately understand the way that the world is, we realize that it's about God and it's not about us. And, I mean, I love this quote by C.S. Lewis. I say it all the time, but just true humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. Mm-hmm. That it's not, life is not about me. And so when I understand that, it's not just the knowledge of, okay, what is life, but it's that wisdom, it's that application of living out life like it's about what God is doing and about others and not about me.
And I love that because that's having a kingdom mindset, thinking in a bigger picture view than what we could possibly narrow ourselves down to. As we're looking at that, Andrew Murray has a quote that, it's so funny because I just had a major flashback. Janelle did that exact same quote. Were you in the radio show with us when that happened?
I don't know, but Janelle and I have talked about that quote a lot.
Like, yeah. I have, in my mind, Janelle, her little sister, sitting beside me, quoting that exact same verse, and then she me did. Giving my favorite verse definition, my favorite definition, not verse, for humility is from Andrew Murray, which is, true humility is to have an exact estimate of yourself. Exactly. To know. So he's talking about knowing yourself so that you understand your strengths and your weaknesses and taking those and applying them. So not that I'm saying I can't focus on me, but I know where I'm strong and I know where I'm weak, and therefore I will humble myself in that. Because in knowing that God is good and that he's good at what he does, he's good at what he is doing in us, and recognizing and celebrating that. And so allowing his goodness to be evident as we are using the spiritual gifts and the fruit that he's given us for his glory, for his kingdom.
And I think in ministry and the workplace in general, understanding that is so helpful in just relating to other people, because then you're not offended when someone else is good at something. You don't have to prove that you're better, but you also don't have to feel bad when someone's good at something either. You can work together as a team and actually support one another and not have this spirit of competition and jealousy all the time.
Right, mm-hmm. Which is why we need to guard against those things.
Right.
Yeah, extremely important. Okay, so how much time we have? We're at, okay, we have plenty. As you're thinking about this, I want you guys to be, who in your life has been the person that you feel has shown wisdom and humility in a way that you wanted to emulate it? Okay, so be thinking through that. Who in your life? Now, as we learned earlier in the radio show, that could be where you've learned it from a character. So just pull it out. Who is that person and why? Were they meek? The wise person? Were they humble? Mm-hmm. Have you considered the person, do you consider people that you feel like they're applying wisdom, applying knowledge wise if they're not humble?
No, mm-hmm. I think you usually see that person as arrogant if they're not humble. And you're also, even if they're right, you're less likely to take their advice.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true.
It's like, they're not humble with it.
I felt like my husband was a very wise man. I watched him be an administrator with teachers and how he handled the teachers with humility and love, you know, never putting them down and always being there. And, I mean, I found out things after he passed away that he did for them that he never told me. To me, that's very humble.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I see that in Jeff a lot, the Dean of Men at Grace, that he equips others and makes things about them and not about himself. And he's really good about just celebrating those victories, him and Dana both, about celebrating the victories of others. And that's just such a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and one thing I've seen with Jeff that really, really fits well with, like, your picture of the wise person kind of thing is, like, I mean, he's not like a silent person, you know, kind of thing. But, you know, if you're in that conversation, it's like there's a silence until he knows what needs to be said.
Right.
And then it's just like that one thing. And, you know, that's the main thing. Like that, there's the wisdom right there. It's not like this big, this big grandiose production of like, here's my wisdom for you.
Yeah,
like,
that's so true, Grant.
You can see it next Thursday on Broadway. You know?
2 o'clock.
That's awesome. That's good. When I think through the people that have blessed me, I think my person would be Maureen Dawkins. She was my prayer partner at seminary, and she was the person that I could sit and I could tell her the worst of the worst in me, and I never felt judged.
I have a friend like that too.
And I don't know, it's like I have always asked God, please somehow allow me to be that Christ character trait that I saw in her, and that I could show her the worst. And she would just kind of, I don't know, like put her arm around me and look at me. And there were times she would just flat out say, you sinned.
Yeah. I love you.
Yeah. But then it was never like, I never once felt that it was something that was a judgment. I never felt condemned. I never felt, I don't know, like it was something she was going to hold against me.
Yeah.
I was able to walk with her through many things. And it's like, God, that's what I desire. Mm-hmm. I long for that. And I think it's because Maureen, she knew how to have that humility of, she knew her strengths, she knew her weaknesses, but she was willing to honor my strengths and my weaknesses in the process.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where I grew and I was blessed.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's good for us to examine those. This question was one of the questions Greg had written down for us to ask and just to be evaluating in our lives when we were doing this series with our group at church. Okay, so I want us to go deeper. What we're going to do is we're going to take some scriptures from that actually talk specifically about wisdom. So, Grant, would you go and read Psalm 90:12? And then I want you to point out for us what it says about wisdom. Jess, I want you to do Proverbs 9:10-12. Sandy, Ecclesiastes 1:17-18. And then I'll do Jeremiah 9:23-24. So go ahead, Grant.
Okay, Psalm 90:12. Teach us to number our days carefully so that we may develop wisdom in our hearts.
Okay. So what do you think the point is that they're wanting us to get?
Well, I mean, it's pretty direct in what it says, you know. It talks about being conscious of how much time we have so that we can accomplish what we need to get accomplished. So that, yeah. So it's not like knowing it, with the idea of wisdom being application of knowledge. It's not just knowing what we need to accomplish, but knowing how much time we have. So therefore, knowing when we need to accomplish what.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good. I think I like this particular passage because it reminds me that if I recognize that life is brief, I'm not going to waste my time on things that
are not important.
Right. I'm not as likely to want to cause a battle or a fight if I'm recognizing I just need to celebrate the moment. And so for me, that's what I get convicted on with wisdom on that particular verse. Okay, the next verse. Let's do that one.
Proverbs 9:10-12. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. Wisdom will multiply your days and add years to your life. If you become wise, you will be the one to benefit. If you scorn wisdom, you will be the one to suffer.
Okay, so what do you guys take from that one? So much.
Yeah, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom has always just struck me of that concept of understanding who God is helps us understand the rest of the world and how we can live in accordance with that truth. But that wisdom does benefit us. Like, sometimes it's hard because we look at others and see that they're not doing what they should, but it still is good for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good point, though, with how, like, if we actually understood how, like, awesome and amazing God is, like, if we truly, like, comprehended who he was in every aspect, like, we wouldn't dare to do anything wrong. It's like, you know, and not, like, from a bad perspective, like, oh, I'm too afraid of God to do this, but just, like, yeah, this that you really want to honor him with everything you do.
Amen to that.
Amen.
Contact us if you want. God bless.